From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Yes. I can only agree. It is a very exciting day, and not only because our guest is singer-songwriter Elvis Costello. Before we start, we want to give a shout-out to President Obama. He's had a tough week. People say that he hasn't done enough to help lower the unemployment rate, but this week he managed to help about 65 people get brand new jobs. So good for you, Mr. President. So quick, before somebody calls an election to fill our seats, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Allison from Philadelphia.
Hey, Allison, how are things in Philadelphia?
Good. I was actually at the taping last week.
You were. It was a lot of fun. That was a great time. I did not know how beautiful and great Philadelphia would be. Are you guys trying to keep that a secret so you don't get overwhelmed with tourists?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm not so sure.
You want to keep it more exclusive.
Well,
Welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of Foodography on the Cooking Channel, Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Mo.
Yeah. Elvis Costello wrote a song about you.
I know.
Should I ask him if it's actually about you?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Next, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts.
Hello, Roxanne.
And next, a writer for the Boston Globe magazine, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, Charlie.
Allison, welcome to the show. You're going to play a new game just for this week, and we're calling it...
What do you mean I can't say that?
If you watched the election returns, and then, you know, on TV, you heard the boring victory speeches and the boring concession speeches. I'm so proud. Thank you so much. Yada, yada, yada. Wake me up for the next cycle. Uh-huh. But the speeches weren't always that boring. We happened to get our hands on the first drafts of some of those speeches, and the candidates let their true feelings out. Carl will now read some of those first drafts. Your job, tell us who it was. Do that 2 times out of 3, you'll win our prize. Ready to play?
All right.
All right, here's your first draft. This one is a victory speech.
My fellow Americans, this is not the time to celebrate. This is the time to go freaking nuts. Your new speaker is surround sound, suckers.
So that was the election night inner monologue of whom?
Is that Bill Boehner?
Not Bill Boehner, it's John Boehner. We'll give it to you, though.
Ah, good. Okay, thanks.
You both got the name Boehner right.
Boehner.
And you pronounced it right. The next Speaker of the House cried during his victory speech on live TV Tuesday night. He's been known to do that before. So that's the first difference between Mr. Boehner and the outgoing Nancy Pelosi. His face works. Now, people sometimes... make fun of John Boehner's weird orangey skin, but come on, it is natural. It's all natural. He does this every autumn. Soon the spring will come and he'll be a verdant green again.
I think that we should all applaud a racial barrier being broken. He's our first burnt Siena House speaker.
That's pretty exciting.
What do we think about the tears? I mean, personally, I thought it was awesome. I'm going to start keeping track of every time he kind of chokes up and tears up.
He's a poor man, Sally Field. I was waiting.
You like me. You really like me.
Now, Mr. Boehner, for the last few years, has led the opposition to President Obama, sometimes in very strident terms, so it will be fun to watch them try to work together. He'll sit behind the president at the State of the Union address, for example. He'll be rolling his eyes and making air quotes whenever the president says things like progress or I am an American citizen. Allison, here is your next first draft of a speech.
I want to thank the people of Nevada and congratulations to Ms. Engel. Wait, what? I won? Seriously?
That was a senator who surprised everyone, probably including himself, by winning re-election. Who?
He's that boring.
Yeah.
An indication of why the election was so close.
Yeah. There you go.
Is it Reed?
It is Harry Reid.
Oh,
very good.
Yeah, Harry Reid. Right.
I know, Reed. I know. He could be standing in front of you and going, "Hi, I'm Harry Reid, Senator from Nevada," and he'd leave the room and you'd be like, "Was there someone here?"
Senator Ambien.
Anyway. Harry Reid, of course, has an undertaker's looks and a corpse's charm. And as the election season began, he was the most hated man in Nevada. He was blamed for everything from the high unemployment rate to the time the roulette wheel at Caesar's Palace landed on black 4 freaking times in a row. But he did a very smart thing. He found somebody to run against who was marginally more loathed than he is. He basically had 2 options to pick from, and only 2. He could run against Sharon Angle, a far-right state legislator, or he could run against a toner cartridge mailed from Yemen. And luckily for Reed, the toner cartridge decided to drop out to spend more time with its printer.
She's not so much a Sharon Angle as an obtuse angle.
She is. Very good, Mo.
And I don't think she's a cute angle.
How long have you been working on that?
I love geometry jokes.
You know,
she was too much of a right angle.
Yeah.
My favorite story from the Sharon Angle campaign, so she addresses an audience of Latino students, and they're upset because she's been doing these horribly racist anti-Latino ads. And they get angry at her, and she's like, "Well, you know, who's to know who's Latino? You all look Asian to me." She said this. And that's not the best part. The best part was, like, these students who had no idea who she was before they were marched into this room, one of them was heard by a member of the press to turn to her friend and say, "I hate that lady."
Well, no, and she's pretty radical. I mean, she took a very strong stand on securing our border with China. So
she did. So, Allison, here is your last rejected first draft. It's somebody who took a shellacking, as he put it, even though he wasn't on the ballot.
I gave you health care, a stimulus package, and an adorable hypoallergenic dog. What more do you people want?
That was somebody who was a little more contrite, a little, when he finally addressed the nation the day after the election. Who?
That would be Barack Obama.
It would be. He seemed, to many observers, tired during his press conference post-election. That's because John Boehner kept calling him all through the night and whispering, "This call is coming from inside the house." Obama referred to the election as you heard, a shellacking. But because he is always forward-thinking and reasonable, he pointed out that a nice coat of shellac will make the White House more energy efficient. And, of course, shiny. So how are they going to work together? It's hard to say. Maybe what they should do, this is a serious suggestion in case anybody's listening, bring in a couples counselor. They hate each other. They have to work together. So they'll learn communication skills, like making I statements. Like, "I feel you're vetoing a lot of our bills." The president will be like, "Okay, I hear that. I feel like you keep impeaching me." Carl, how did Allison do in our quiz?
Allison was great, Peter. 3 correct answers. Allison, you win our prize.
Peter,
well,
are you going to say it or am I? Her aim was
true. Her aim is true.
But my aim is true.
Allison, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.